Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Padamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Saha Gana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Today we have the verse 27 from the second chapter. Second chapter is entitled Content of the Gita Summarized. So there is the whole summary of the Gita in this chapter. Text 27 belongs to the section about the soul. The section about the soul and the difference between the soul and the body. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur Ruvam janma mritasya cha Ruvam janma mritasya cha Tasmat aparihāryarthe Tasmat aparihāryarthe Natvam shochitum arhasi Natvam shochitum arhasi Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur Janma dhruvam janma mritasya cha Tasmat aparihāryarthe Natvam shochitum arhasi Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur Ruvam janma mritasya cha Tasmat aparihāryarthe Natvam shochitum arhasi Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur Tasmat aparihāryarthe Natvam shochitum arhasi Mrityur Dhruvam janma mritasya cha Tasmat aparihāryarthe Natvam shochitum arhasi Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur Tvam janamamritasya cha tasmata pariharyarthe natvam shachitum arhasi jatasya hi dhruva mrityur dhruvam janamamritasya cha tasmata pariharyarthe natvam shachitum arhasi jatasya hi dhruva mrityur dhruvam janamamritasya cha tasmata pariharyarthe natvam shachitum arhasi. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityur dhruvam janamamritasya cha smata pariharyartha natvam shachitum arhasi. Okay, translation, Vaishnava Prabhupada. One who has taken his birth is sure to die. And after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Please repeat. One who has taken his birth is sure to die. And after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Purport. One has to take birth according to one's activities of life. And after finishing one term of activities, one has to die to take birth for the next. In this way, one is going through the cycle of birth and death after another, without liberation. The cycle of birth and death does not, however, support unnecessarily murder, slaughter, and war. But at the same time, violence and war are inevitable factors in human society for keeping law and order. The battle of Kurukshetra, being the will of the Supreme, was an inevitable event, and to fight for the right cause is the duty of a Kshatriya. Why should he be afraid of or aggrieved at the death of his relatives, since he was discharging his proper duty? He did not deserve to break the law, thereby becoming subjected to the reactions of sinful acts of which he was afraid. By avoiding the discharge of his proper duty, he would not be able to stop the death of his relatives, and he would be degraded due to his selection of the wrong path of action. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityur dhruvam janma mritasya cha tasmata pariharyarthe natvam shochittum arhasi. One who has taken his birth is sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Hare Krishna. We are in the section of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is presenting for the first time to Arjuna the concept of the basic concept of transcendental knowledge, which means that Arjuna is not understanding yet this knowledge, because for the conditioned mind, the knowledge about the soul, and here in this verse especially about birth and death, about reincarnation, is not the knowledge one can get by experience, because we are conditioned, bound by our body which has taken birth at a certain time, grew up, developed, and then slowly deteriorates and then becomes dead body. And for someone who haven't even heard about transcendental knowledge, the very fact that the body is dead is very terrible, horrifying, because the person thinks that, yes, I am the body, because of the lack of experience of something else. And we have to remember that when Srila Prabhupada and Krishna speaks about the body in Bhagavad Gita, it's not only about the physical body, this body, but also about the mind and intelligence. These are also bodies which cover us. And who are we? That's the explanation Krishna is giving in this section. We are spirit souls. And there are many proofs for that, that we are spirit souls and we are closed in the body. For example, Prabhupada gives the proof of consciousness. And he says that like the sun has the rays and the light, so and the light is the symptom of the sun, and here the symptom of the bulb is that is light. Okay, so if it's light, we know that there is a bulb. If it's the day, we know that the sun is on this in the sky. But in the same way, because we are conscious, we know that consciousness is the light of the soul. So without soul, there is no consciousness. And consciousness is something which allows us to be aware of everything which exists, which allows us to use our mind and senses. But again, we use this consciousness every day, because without consciousness we cannot function, because that's our nature. But on the other hand, we are not aware that we are not the body. We are identifying with the body, and that's the problem. So the Krishna consciousness is about reviving this knowledge, or reviving the original consciousness. It's not about giving something new, something we don't have or we don't know. No, we have consciousness. We are the souls. So we just have to revive our knowledge by remembering, not identifying anymore with the gross and subtle body. But this is difficult. This is difficult because, as this verse says, we take birth and then we die, and again we take birth and again we die. So it means that we, in the past, we had many bodies, okay, different. Not necessarily human, according to law of reincarnation, karma, we might have the animal body or different. But whatever body we had, in this body, we were developing certain habits. And these habits brought us to the moment when we are in the body of the human being, and still, by the power of the habits of identifying with the body, we think that we are this body. And it would be nice to have the experience that we are not this body. And many sages, in fact, they strive, they practice different austerities and penances to get this direct experience. This is the goal of Ashtanga Yoga, of meditation, just to get at least a little bit, a glimpse of this experience that we are not the body. Because if we get this direct experience, we cannot forget it. It's like someone who is closed in the dark room suddenly sees a light for a second. So in this darkness, the light is something, it's like a miracle. So you cannot forget the miracle. So to realize yourself or get the knowledge that you are not the body, direct by experience, it's something you cannot forget. It's something that changes your life. But it's not available to everyone. Because like Veda says, we are living in the Kali Yuga. It's an age of quarrel. We live only 100 years. It's very short time. We have bad memory. We are our bodies are not strong. So what choice do we have? How can we get this experience? So to get this experience, Krishna, first of all, spoke Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago, because Krishna, as being absolute or God, he knows past, present, and future. So he knew that age of Kali is coming, that people will be in very, very bad condition, that religion will be deteriorating, that there will be no rules. So to help us, he gives us knowledge. And this knowledge, which is in Bhagavad Gita, is equivalent of this direct realization of our position as spirit souls. This is, if we understand the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, one can say we have this direct perception of ourselves as the soul. It is called Jnana Chakshush or Shastra Chakshush. We will be able, by studying Bhagavad Gita, to see ourselves as the souls, not as the bodies. Still, one may say, okay, this is indirect, this is jnana, this is not something I can experience. We are based on experience. What do we mean by experience? By experience, we mean that we get the knowledge by our senses. That's what we mean by experience, by touch, by smell, by seeing, by hearing, by tasting. There are five ways of getting knowledge by senses. Okay. This is called pratyaksha in Sanskrit, getting knowledge by the senses. And then, but this is not the only way to experience things, to get knowledge. There is also the other, more subtle ways of getting knowledge. And in Sanskrit, the second way of getting knowledge is anumana, means by using mind, by using logic, by analyzing things, by analyzing facts. Like in mathematics, you don't experience numbers. You don't experience the different how it is called? What do they do in mathematics? Equations, yes. You don't experience this. This is all in mind. But this is the science. Math is a science. It's a serious science. And philosophy. You also don't experience ideas. You just think about them. But everyone says this is knowledge. This is solid. Philosophers, mathematicians, they are respectable persons. Okay? They we say they do something serious. And then this is the limit where the modern science reaches. So the limit is senses and mind. The science, as we know it, at least now in modern age, doesn't use much more except mind and senses. And but here in Bhagavad Gita, we have transcendental science, science on the soul. As we mentioned at the beginning, you cannot perceive soul by material senses. You cannot analyze soul by the mind. So, soul is much more subtle. So how can we get this knowledge, which is not perceived by the senses and not analyzed by the mind? That's the question. So what is the source of this knowledge? And this is called in Sanskrit Shabda. Shabda means sound, sound vibration. So we get the knowledge by hearing from someone. Okay? And by hearing, we can understand. It's like with Christopher Columbus, who discovered America. He didn't know. He didn't sense. He didn't touch America. He was thinking. But he heard. He was a sailor, okay? The sailors sail and they hear different stories. So he heard that there is the other way to India, okay? Not to the east as usual, but to the west. There was all knowledge he get. This knowledge was from hearing, okay? So he accepted this knowledge. That's the first step, okay? He accepted that the source, it comes from, it may be reliable, okay? It's not that's, because we hear many things, okay? We can hear that this and this flies in the air, Mr. Someone flies in the air, but we don't believe usually, because people don't fly in the air. And but if we have the source which is reliable, then we are prone to believe. Or if someone repeats the message many times, or different sources repeat the message many times, we think, okay, that must be something. And that's the case with the spiritual knowledge or transcendental knowledge. We hear this knowledge from the realized sages. Realized sages means the yogis or devotees or mystics who get the experience and then revealed it to us. And one may ask, okay, how did they get this experience? So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained very nicely that this experience one can get through the system of parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajayushayo viduh. So this knowledge is being conveyed and being passed down by hearing from one sage to another. Okay? And those sages don't change this knowledge. They just repeat it. And in this way, this original insight or insight in the transcendental knowledge, in the transcendental realm, this picture of the soul is visible in this knowledge. And that's how this knowledge comes to us.
There are, of course, stories about direct perception, and one of the story refers to Krishna and Maitreya Rishi. They were once. Maitreya was very curious about how one can perceive things which are beyond ordinary perception. He wanted to see the end of the world, the end of the universe. So he was wandering with Krishna along the shore of the sea, and Krishna told him, "You can go there, see the hut, go and bring some water. I am thirsty." So Maitreya Rishi went to this hut, and there was a beautiful girl living inside. So he fell in love with this girl and forgot that he was to bring Krishna some water. And they were living for some time together. Then they had children, and then there was one day there was the huge storm. And this storm was not usual, this was like the flood, like at the end of the world. So all the family of Maitreya died, his wife and children, and he was struggling very much to survive in this ocean. And then at certain point the wave threw him out of the ocean on the shore, and he just saw the lotus feet of Krishna in front of his face, because he was lying on the sand. So he just raised his head, and Krishna smiled at him and said, "So where is my water?" So by this mystic experience, Maitreya Rishi, by the mercy of Krishna, could experience the end of the world and all the cycle of yugas in the very, very brief form. But so this experience is available by Krishna's mercy. And the Krishna's mercy is equal in every, it's not that the Krishna's mercy is equal in every aspect. Whatever Krishna gives us, if it's pleasure or pain, or he gives us some tests, or gives us some knowledge, this is equal mercy. So one form of this mercy is Bhagavad Gita, of course, because Krishna gives us knowledge, this knowledge which is not available in other way. And the easiest way to cultivate and to revive this knowledge, at least in our age of quarrel, Kali Yuga, is to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because Mahamantra connects us to the vibration, to the Shabda, to the sound which reveals our true, real nature as the spirit souls. We have to finish. So, do you have any questions, comments? Yeah.
Now it is important to do this mantra, but after that,
Yes. So it is described also in Bhagavad Gita, these yugas. So it is described that Kali Yuga means this, like in the Greek mythology, there are ages: golden age, silver, copper, and bronze. You know this. So in the same way, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's described that there is a golden age called Satya Yuga, that people live 100,000 years. They are free of anxieties, no problem with food, with anything. Then there is a silver age, it's called Treta Yuga, then people live only 10,000 years. And there are some problems, but very little. And then there is this copper age, or Dvapara Yuga, and then people live only 1,000 years. And they have more and more problems, more and more wars and quarrels. And then, now we have the Iron Age, Kali Yuga, where people live only 100 years, and they quarrel, and they cannot live in peace. So this is described in the Bhagavad Gita, and it is said that Kali Yuga, the time of duration of Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. Okay, so it started 5,000 years ago. So it means that 4,2700 years. Yeah, it's a long time. And so at least we can be peaceful that there won't be end of the world for the next 400,000 years. But what's next? What after Kali Yuga? After Kali Yuga, it's again Satya Yuga. Because it's golden age again. So like in Greek mythology, it's cycles repeat all the time. Because in the West, we have the concept of linear time, okay? There is a point, there is a now and the future and the past, and it's like a line, okay? You never come back to the past, okay? But in the West, the conception of time is the circular, not linear, but circular. Excuse me? East. What did I say? So in the East is a circular. Means that the cycles, the time goes again and again. Like birth and death. Like the seasons. Okay? There is spring, summer, autumn, winter, and then spring. And summer, autumn, winter. This is circular. Around and round.
So you don't go back to gold and silver and then come here to Kali Yuga and then...
And go back.
Silver, gold, not again to all these stages you went down. Uh-huh. Now we are here.
No, yeah. And that's what we are saying, it's linear. It's up and down, right and left. No, we are talking...
Maybe I start here and go the golden age, silver, etc., etc. And then I go up again.
Yes. Yes. After this is directly the golden. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Comments? Yes.
Another question would be, why is the golden age? Not as the mother said, why are you not going from back to the proper age?
Exactly, yes.
Actually, wasn't there a swap between Dvapara
Yuga and Treta Yuga? Yes. Usually, yes, after Satya Yuga is Dvapara Yuga and then Treta Yuga. But because Krishna appears in the middle of the light of Brahma, this is something with the time counting, it's complicated. So there is this change into yugas, but this is detail. Yes, yes, only once. Only when Krishna comes as He. No, no, no. It's not often. Yes, of course. Yeah. So this is the general knowledge. So we all have senses and we all experience the world by senses. That's for all everyone. Everyone can smell, see, hear, touch, and taste. That's for everyone. Everyone can use the logic, the mind. So that's for everyone. And everyone can hear from someone. So these ways of receiving knowledge are universal. Everywhere. They are. You can apply them everywhere.
Even you also can get your knowledge from through experiences.
Yes, you mean
you
didn't invent it. So, no. Yeah. So this is the other thing that we are souls.
Yeah.
And as the soul, we have our spiritual nature. Okay, so our spiritual nature is called in Sanskrit Satchit Ananda, means eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So in our original state as a soul, we have all knowledge. We don't have to learn anything. But because we forgot that we are souls, we are now identifying with the body, within the body, so this knowledge is unavailable for us. Okay, if we come back to the consciousness that we are the souls, this knowledge is with us all the time. But now we cannot access it. That's...
You cannot experience.
Yes, you cannot experience that you are the soul, means you cannot access this knowledge. Hare Krishna. Yes? Yeah, yeah, it's correct. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.